Well, welcome. It's the 17th day of February, and we're so happy you could all take time to join us today as we are discussing our travel article to warm, enchanting French Polynesia. I know you all wish you were there with us. We wish we were there, too. And the people who wish they were there with me are in the studio with me today. It's
Peter, where's my ticket?
And Carolyn, yeah, I'm waiting for the booking process to be finalized.
And I'm Linda, and I'm waiting too. But while we're waiting, we can talk about French Polynesia. And this is our third day of talking about it. We've been island skipping, kind of. And the first day we started off on the island of Tycho. And what do you remember about that place, Carolyn?
Well, it was very secluded. It's not a place that a lot of people frequent, so you can have a much more intimate discovery of the beautiful ocean, the marine life there, and just enjoy some peace, quiet away from everything.
Okay, what about you, Peter? What stood out to you?
Well, I mean, I agree with Carolyn. That first island was probably the one I'm going to choose. Like, if someone was to pay my way, I would...
Yeah, it's
no,
not going to happen.
Okay, fine. Okay. Yeah, that's where I would go for that, just calmer, quiet, secluded area. It's also got, you know, biking, other activities like that, and great snorkeling, too.
Right, and it also has this island, I mentioned it again yesterday, the Bird Island, which is a Galapagos-like island, which is a bird sanctuary. So you don't just, you know, lie on your deck and look at the fish swimming beneath you. You can also do a little bit of exploring in a lot of different ways. As Peter said, too, there's also biking and different kinds of things. I think this is not in our article, but there are no snakes in Polynesia, so you don't have to worry about getting bitten by anything if you decide to explore up in the mountains. Which is a big plus.
Yes, that is very encouraging and would certainly be a good reason to just walk around the island.
Well, we left Tycho, and yesterday we went to Tahiti. And this actually is the island, what's with Bora Bora, which is what we're going to talk more about today. It's part of the Society Islands. And remember, there are five island groups here, and French Polynesia is made up of 118 islands altogether, divided up among these island groups. And we found ourselves in Tahiti, which is, and the first place we were was in Papeete, which is the administrative capital. And that's quite a contrast that she painted between that and Tycho, right, Carolyn?
Right. So this is a bustling city. It is very busy. There aren't just tourists here, but also businesses, people just doing normal everyday life. So she draws that contrast with maybe local snack joints plus fancy boutiques and buying everything from women's dresses to office equipment. So you can find everything here all together. There isn't a lot of divide between the tourists and the locals.
And you don't have to stay in the city. Where else can you go, Peter?
That's right. Outside the city, there are some amazing mountains. You can take a tour up there. It's easy to get up there. There's beautiful winding roads. And as you climb in elevation, the vegetation changes, the climate changes. And you can find these beautiful valleys with waterfalls pouring out into each valley. I bet it's quite amazing to see. Usually we think of a place like Tahiti as, oh, you pay to go to the beach and sit at the beach. But there's so much more here. I mean, I'm sure just going to the mountains, that's got to be quite the unique experience. Not every island has that. And again, when we talk about French Polynesia, I think what we're talking about is not just a beach. You get a variety of things. And it's just this quality experience with not as many people, not as many visitors, but you also get a lot of culture, too.
That's right. And I think one of the things I was struck by is that our author went on a guided tour, and she had a 12th generation Tahitian as her tour guide. And his family had owned this whole area that they are now going on a tour of, so he knew everything. She describes him as knowing every bush, every flower, every gully, every creek that was in this whole area.
And it makes it feel local, too.
Right. I think he probably would have a lot of entertaining stories and a lot of history that he would be sharing with the tour groups that he takes. So when I go, that's the kind of people I like to have, that I like to go touring with, because they really know.
Yeah, and it gives you this personal experience of that place. It's not just visiting, taking some pictures of things. You really get to meet the people and the personality of that culture.
That's right. Well, you know, I want to go back to page 30, and there are some tips if you're going to go to French Polynesia. You might want to be careful about the time of year you go. It says here that, you know, because it's a French colony, there are a lot of French people that go there, and they go during the busy months, our Christmas and summer school holidays, like June through August. And I think that Europe, all of Europe, basically takes vacation in August. So it's kind of trying to say, if you don't want to really be crowded, don't go during those times. Pick mm-hmm. other times to go.
Right. So try to pick a travel season that isn't around Christmas and not during summer holidays. So perhaps in the spring or in the fall. And Tahiti also has dry and rainy seasons, but the temperatures are similar year-round. So the rainy season is from December through April, and it's hotter and more humid. So if you don't like that hot, humid weather, you should avoid going from December through April. And there are storms and cloud cover during that period as well.
I think the other thing about French Polynesia we don't hear a lot about is they get a lot of typhoons as well. Mm-hmm. So you probably want to try to, you know, take that into consideration if you're going to plan a trip here. And we said this, I think, at the very beginning, it's not that easy to get to. If you're going from Asia, you have to go through Hong Kong to New Zealand and then fly from New Zealand to Tahiti. And if you're going from the West, then you go through Los Angeles. No matter where in the United States you live, all flights go and are routed through Los Angeles. And it's not a short flight.
No,
it's a long flight. But it sounds like it sure is worth it. And today we're going to be talking about, we're going back to Bora Bora. We just introduced it at the end of our time yesterday. And we're going to another one of the Pearl Beach resorts there and to a bungalow. So let's turn to page 32 in our magazine. And let's read this article. We're going to read on to page 33 down to a dream come true wedding location.
My overwater bungalow at the deluxe Bora Bora Pearl Beach Resort on Tevhoa Motu made bamboo and thatch feel as elegant as a palace. The extra-long bathtub invited slow, pampering soaks, and there was a pool as well. Much larger than its sister resort on Taiko, the Bora Bora Pearl occupied acres of beach and a palm grove. But as luxe as it was, low-key, traditional, Polynesian hospitality was the modus operandi. The employees, mostly Tahitians, welcomed the guests with attention and respect, as if we were family. And for those who wanted to experience a bit more, one-hour cultural activities, crafts, dance, and music were offered daily, according to General Manager Silva Delanke. Born in France, Delanke took the job on Bora Bora to give Polynesia a try, and fell in love with the lifestyle. Look at the flower wreaths that the waitresses wear around their hair, he said. They make them fresh every day using ordinary flowers, the ones growing out there on the bushes. I've never seen people so artistic who make such beautiful things out of the most ordinary objects. What matters here is the culture, he added. Without it, it's just another beach.
So here we are at the Pearl Beach Resort on Bora Bora, but we kind of started talking about it yesterday, right, Peter?
That's right. Bora Bora is very famous. They call it the Celebrity Island. So usually we talk about famous people as the celebrity. Well, today we have an island that's a celebrity. It has many resorts and hotels and guest houses. So a lot of people take time to go there, and we see why, because it's such a beautiful place. Again, there's lots to do, and I think I'm ready to go. I keep saying that. I'll listen.
Yes. Well, it told us about three different kind of levels of housing anyway. They have 24 resorts, deluxe resorts. They have regional hotels, and they have guest houses. And so you can take your pick of where you want to stay while you're there. So it says here the possibilities seemed almost endless. So you have a lot to choose from.
Right. But even if you decide not to stay at one of the deluxe resorts, that's not going to impact your experience that much,
right?
Because there's still going to be a shady spot for you on the beach. There are plenty of people that will take you snorkeling. You can see sharks, or you can hire a Jeep to take you up the mountains. So there's nothing to keep you from enjoying this amazing, amazing place.
And here we see that, once again, we did this on, well, we saw this on our first day in Taiko, where she was staying in a bungalow over the water. And once again, she describes her bungalow here, her overwater bungalow at the Deluxe Bora Bora Pearl Beach Resort. Made bamboo and thatch feel as elegant as a palace. Pretty interesting.
Usually we think of thatched roofs as something rustic or poor or native, but she's talking about those qualities seeming like it's the best place on earth, like a palace. Wow, so it's got to be luxurious.
Mm-hmm. Yes, having a house constructed of bamboo is not something that would make me think of luxury at first, but these are certainly elegant places that you can stay, and being over the water in such a beautiful location with pristine blue water, I'm sure makes that also appear to be luxurious.
Well, and kind of a side note about how people take vacations these days is changing. I think my grandparents would have liked the big whitewashed hotel with a nice clean hospital-like room, whereas nowadays people like the bamboo, the native culture, feeling a little bit more with nature and getting an experience out of your vacation, not just the luxury. People want the luxury, but they also want a different experience.
That's right. Especially, you know, I said before, if you're from like the Midwest of the United States and this is February where it's snowing and cold, or even here in Taipei, you know, it's winter and it's kind of, you know, rainy and cloudy. You want to get out in the sun and you want to enjoy it. So, right, the description of it here is very inviting.
Mm-hmm.
And along with this, in this resort, in her room, she had an extra long bathtub. I think my tall husband would enjoy that. And invited slow pampering soaks. Now, if you're pampered or somebody is pampering you, what are they doing, Carolyn?
Well, that means that you're receiving special treatment. So if you want to pamper yourself, you might soak your feet in some nice warm water, maybe add some bath salts or some different essential oils and just relax. But you can get pampered by having a massage, many different ways of pampering yourself.
Right, and here they're saying that the bathtub, because it's so long and large, is inviting you just to hang out in there, okay, and have a nice pampering soak. And I think this is so funny. And there was a pool as well. That's, to me, that's kind of an afterthought. Like, yeah, you have this bathtub, so why go to the pool?
Yeah.
You also have an ocean. Why go to the pool or the bathtub?
That's true. And it says this one is much larger than its sister resort on Taiku, which is where we were on our first day. This one, the Bora Bora Pearl, occupied acres of a beach and a palm grove. That's pretty amazing. I mean, just the description itself is like, whoa.
Yeah, normally we don't think of hotels being much more than a building. It sounds like they have quite a bit of land to manicure and make just beautiful for their guests. I bet taking a nighttime walk after dinner would be excellent.
Mm-hmm. Quite a beautiful place to stay.
And then we see that, notice they dropped the D-E part of it, deluxe, but as luxe as it was, we see there's low-key traditional Polynesian hospitality. What is the word or this phrase low-key, what make you think of?
Usually relaxed and not so pretentious. I think
what
given the context,
mean?
Well, pretentious, that means, putting on airs, I guess. Politeness is very important, and kind of putting on the show, I think of expensive things, showing off. And remember the context of the situation. This is a luxury island resort, and you're paying a lot of money to be there, and you know the guests want to be treated well. But you have this low-key, comfortable feel, which means this is kind of the opposite of what you expect to have this, pretentious feeling.
But it doesn't mean that you're not well taken care of and that your every need is not met. It just means that they do it in kind of more friendly, relaxed kind of way.
Yeah, so there isn't a lot of formality. It's more like your family.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still taking very good care of you. There's still that hospitality. So if something is hospitable or someone shows you hospitality, then they are going to take care of you and provide the things that you need to feel comfortable.
And I like this phrase. This is the modus operandi, D. Okay, this is the particular way of doing something, if that's the way that this hotel or this resort operates.
Yeah, and it kind of contrasts that whole low-key, comfortable, homey feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Is this word modus operandi, which is like this Latin, very structured term.
Right.
That you would apply more to like a laboratory experiment or something that has a set of rules and expected actions, but... So she's playing with this a little bit with that word.
I know. When I read the sentence, I thought, it seems so out of place to say to say that right there.
Yeah, my dad is like that, though. He uses that word a lot for simple things like breakfast, making toast, or something like that.
I love it. Well, we see that the employees here are mostly Tahitians, and how did they welcome their guests?
With attention and respect, as if you were family. So you're not being greeted as someone that they aren't familiar with. It's, oh, they already know who you are. They know what you need. They are ready to welcome you, and they have everything prepared.
Okay. And there's a lot more to experience than just being pampered in the bathtub. What else can you do here, Peter?
They have one-hour cultural activities, so you can make different crafts. I'm sure they're colorful, you know, who knows what they get to do, as well as dance, and there's music. So maybe they get to learn some tribal Polynesian dances and listen to some of that music. And it's, you know, not too long, an hour. That's probably about all that you'd want to do of that before you want to do your own thing again.
Right, and now we've met that now we're going to be meeting the general manager. It's Sylvain Delanchy. And this guy is born in France, and he took this job on Bora Bora just to try Polynesia. And then he decided to stay because he fell in love with it. So I do want to point out, I think Peter brought this up earlier, is that yesterday we met Teva, whose family wants to own the valley, who once owned the valley of the park, and now he is a tour guide. And here we have a guy from France that is actually the manager of this hotel. So, and in my reading, there is some tension because this is a French colony. There are people that want it to be free from France, and then there's a group that doesn't want it to be free from France. But it has changed. It has obtained a lot of autonomy since 2003. Okay, so we see that he's now describing why he fell in love with the lifestyle there. What does he say?
Well, it's just so different from culture in the West. we see that he points out the flower wreaths that the waitresses wear around their hair. So these Tahitian waitresses that work at the resort, they make their own flower wreaths to decorate their hair with. Perhaps they even make flower necklaces. They do things in a way that is very different from what we would expect to find at a resort in the West.
I wonder, you know, because when you go to Hawaii, it's the very same thing. You know, everybody gets a lei when you get off the plane or when you go into a place. So it makes me wonder who influenced whom here.
Mm.
That's interesting. Yeah, I think he's just so enamored, just loves this culture because it's different from his own. And again, I think the word is lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about the slow pace of life, appreciating certain things that you wouldn't appreciate in a city. So I think the whole arrangement is what he likes about it. It's not just beautiful, but he loves the people.
Right. And I think this is interesting. He feels that, you know, they can make things out of what we would think of as ordinary. So mm-hmm. the artistic side of the culture is really, really has struck home with him. And he says without that, then it's just another beach. I find that really hard to believe, but...
Sure, and I think it also speaks to the island itself when he says these are just ordinary flowers. So
mm-hmm.
So ordinary there is absolutely beautiful, right? Because there's flowers like this everywhere on the island, so it's incredible.
Well, we go back to yesterday when it said that they left the flower forest, right?
Right.
So you know that there are flowers blooming everywhere.
Yeah, it's not hard to find flowers on these islands. They are everywhere. And you see some pictures of them scattered throughout this article in your magazine, some lovely Polynesian flowers.
Well, we've come to our wedding. This is a dream come true wedding location. And before we discuss it, why don't we read this section?
A dream come true wedding location. If you're planning to get hitched, any deluxe hotel on Bora Bora will make it happen. Assistants can arrange the flowers, organize a reception, order a wedding cake decorated with flowers and whales, and can promise enough beds to accommodate all your relatives as well as your entire high school graduating class. If you want a smaller wedding, choose Tycho and book the entire Pearl Beach Resort. All 19 overwater bungalows plus the restaurant. Fly your friends over from Papeete and treat them to snorkeling, scuba diving, picnicking, a trip to Bird Island, and romantic evenings watching the stars come out.
So, Carolyn, you got married a couple of years ago.
Yes, it hasn't been too long. This is very true, but we did not get married on Bora Bora.
Aww.
You didn't book the whole hotel resort?
Well, that would have been lovely, but I think it would have been a little bit difficult for all of our guests to be able to attend.
Oh, it's a little out of your price range.
Just a little.
Well, actually, the very first sentence is quite interesting. And it kind of seems out of place in this article. It says, if you're planning to get hitched, any deluxe hotel on Bora Bora will make it happen. To get hitched, if you hitch something up, we're usually talking about a trailer to a tractor or something. But here, to get hitched means to get married.
Yes.
Don't use it.
Yeah, well, it's a very careless way to right. say something very, very important. And
right.
So there is some sarcasm or humor with this, the way she says it.
I think it's a phrase that guys usually use. I don't know very many women that would say, I'm getting hitched tomorrow.
No, not really. But I think she is trying to bring in that local feeling, that low-key.
Very, very local.
Right, and very low-key, not formal at all, into this deluxe resort. So, if you're planning to get married or have your nuptials, is another way to say it, or to get hitched, any deluxe hotel on Bora Bora will make it happen. So they are ready for planning your wedding.
And really, she covers the whole, as in English we say, the whole nine yards for wedding arrangement. Arrange the flowers, they can get a reception together, they can have a wedding cake with flowers and whales, and they can accommodate everybody, I love this, as well as your entire high school graduating class.
Yeah,
I love that line.
Yes.
Well, with a lot of travel articles, it's... obviously, this might not be realistic for most everyone, I can say that. But part of travel articles is you get a little vacation yourself. And
right.
The writer is trying to just drum up these emotions and paint you this wonderful picture of a place that maybe you'll never get to go, but you can experience this article and maybe dream about your wedding being on Bora Bora and paying for everyone to be there, too.
And notice the title of this little section is called The Dream Come True Wedding Location. And if you don't want to go to Bora Bora, you can go back to Taikoo and have a smaller wedding, and you can book everything there, and they will also do everything for
mm-hmm.
you. So if you want to get married, this is really, I wouldn't mind.
Or you can make it your honeymoon destination, so a little more secluded over on Taikoo.
That's right. Well, we're glad that you've joined us for these 3 days on French Polynesia. We hope that you've learned as much about it as we did preparing for this lesson, and we thank you for joining us today. We hope to see you again here on Advanced Studio Classroom. Bye for now.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.